Podcasting 2.0 for April 30th, 2021, episode 35, fully noted and double gated. Yes, just like a hip-hopper sometimes, they come to me from the heavens above. Hello, everybody. It's Friday once again. Time for the board meeting of Podcasting 2.0, podcastindex.org. It's the best time of the week, and the boardroom and board meeting is officially open. I'm Adam Curry here in Austin, Texas, and in Alabama, the man who de-dupes more feeds than any human being, ladies and gentlemen, Dave Jones.
Dupe. Dupe is the critical word there.
Dupe?
Yes.
Dupe is the word?
Yes. I hope you probably need to triple gate us, because I've like dropped all my crap on the floor right during your intro. Okay. I don't know if that came through or not.
It has been a week of microphone woes all around, which, when it rains, it pours. Same with, with software development. You fix a bug, 10 more pop up. And so we fixed some of Dave's issue. I got to tell you about my microphone issue, though, right off the bat, because you'll appreciate this. I had a microphone break about a week ago, and all of a sudden
you're on the RE320. You get the same one I got, right?
Right. So I had the RE320, the Electro Voice. And so about a week ago, all of a sudden it develops this buzz midway through No Agenda. And John and I spend half an hour trying to figure out where it's coming from. I mean, I'm pulling cables. I'm doing everything I can. We can't figure it out. I wind up throwing a Procaster mic on there, which, just didn't quite... And, this is a whole different microphone, so we finished the show, fine. Then I had... then I bought a new 320, and it worked fine. And then I was doing MoFax on Saturday, and the buzz popped in again. And now I'm like, holy crap. So, now I'm trying to, and I'm tired. My ears are not what they used to be. I wear hearing aids. This is the most frustrating part, is I can't really, if I'm listening through headphones, it's hard for me to determine. I'm losing my ears, not my hearing. I'm losing that too, but also my ears, which is sad for a sad for audio guy. Huh?
Like high pitch. Do you have a hard time with high frequencies now?
No, it's all high frequencies is gone. Oh, yeah, it's all gone to shit. Yeah, no, it's all gone. So that's what I need to crank up, but I have to be careful, because what I think may sound good, and that's what happened with No Agenda yesterday after I also accidentally ran it through a processor the second time. So I sounded like I had a metal straw up my butt, and that's what I was talking through. Everything, and then, of course, people email me like, hey, it sounds like shit. Yeah, thanks, man. Twitter everywhere. Hey, just so you know, man, what's going on? Did you forget to put some treble in or too much? No. So, and I appreciate it, because everyone knows how much I care about the sound. But so I'm like, well, I have two mics now that have broken with this buzz. And so now, and last night I'm reading through these Twitter posts, and I almost wanted to come up here and, and rip everything apart. And I said, I'm going to sleep on it. And I wake up this morning and I think, and I said, Tina, hold on a second. Studio is above the kitchen. No, it's above the dining room. So long story short, we find out that there's one light switch. If you put the dimmer in a certain a certain spot, it's right. It's like within half a centimeter distance on the slide. Then that, all of a sudden that buzz pops up.
I'm going to blame LED lights for this crap.
LED. Of course it's LED. Of course.
You
it's pollution.
If it was analog light bulbs like it used to be, you could dim that stuff all day long, and it's fine. And now your switch, your little dimmer sphere or circle or whatever, may sound like it was about to explode, but the light itself wouldn't do a whole lot. Now you've got, like, it's not a light bulb anymore. It's a Raspberry Pi.
I think we should just get rid of the lights and just hang three Raspberry Pis from the ceiling. That'd be funny.
Yeah. Yeah, it'd be great.
While mining Bitcoin.
I have an opening statement.
Oh, okay. Opening statement. Ladies and gentlemen, hold on a second. Whoa. Okay. Hold on, everybody. We have a motion for the board meeting.
Point of personal privilege.
Point of personal privilege. The floor is yours. You have the talking stick.
I feel like it is very strange that the last 2 weeks, there has been so much effort and time and money spent collectively by the podcasting industry to figure out a way to not let people hear your stuff. Am I wrong about this?
You're absolutely right. This is This is the two dogs. They're fighting for the bone, and there's a couple of the dogs on the outside. They all think they can capture podcasting because, you know, hey, it's there. Why not? And they're failing.
Yeah.
They're failing.
So you have, I was thinking about this earlier. So it's kind of like, yeah, fat, you know, we talk about value for value versus paywall, blah, blah, blah. It's sort of like fast food and sit down restaurant. And I think we can all agree universally that sitting down at a restaurant, getting served, and then showing your appreciation with a tip or with monetary gratuity after a fine meal is a much better experience than paying for the slop up front and then just hoping that you get the guy that doesn't care that much, that's slinging hash in the back, you know, on the griddle, didn't like spit in it. So like, I just feel like this whole discussion of subscriptions and paywalls and membership and what my favorite phrase now, premium content. This is all just a way to take a fine dining experience and turn it into like, essentially like a 5 for $5 at Arby's. And you know, maybe I'm wrong about this, but it just doesn't feel right to put all this effort into figuring out new ways to prohibit people from listening to you.
I have never been one to be shy. And my ego is not just my ego this time around. It's the ego of probably a good 50 to 75 people. I will tell you that this is all happening because of us. We did not go unnoticed. Apple called me, late last year, heard me out. I told them exactly what we were doing, exactly how we were going to do it, and that they were more than welcome to join. And it's not about money. It's about perception of ownership. Apple, the way they speak, is still they want you to perceive that they have ownership, that they created this, that they were that. And by the way, they deserve that credit, but that doesn't, it's not ownership. They deserve all the credit that they can get for making a lot of this work, but you don't own it. And these are boardroom questions. This is board of directors. This is shareholders. Well, what are you doing about podcasting? Spotify seems to be eating your lunch, which they're not. The news today that Spotify, mm-hmm. very disappointing results in growth. And that was the whole point. The whole point of podcasting was to get new users who are subscribers, not advertiser listeners, and to convert existing people to listening longer and listening less to music and more to podcasts. And from all the numbers I've seen and from the numbers the analysts have put together, it's just, you know, it's like, well, they got a good bump on Joe Rogan. That was a customer acquisition move. Mm-hmm. And that's it. It's not really moving the needle very much. And
yeah, I think I saw they said 25% of their 25% of their monthly active subscribers listen to podcasts in the app, which is already low, but I question that number anyway, because you can shoot me if I'm wrong. This has got to be the way that they measure that number. You've got essentially anybody that accidentally taps on a podcast gets counted as a podcast listener on Spotify.
Well, I would say, why don't we just use the same metric that Facebook uses to charge their customers? 3 seconds of a video view is a video view.
Yeah, exactly. That's got to be it.
It's not, none of these numbers are impressive. You want to hear impressive growth numbers? Mm-hmm. In March of 2021, Podcast Index saw 34,000 transactions. To date, April 30th, 2021, we are almost at 68,000 transactions. So we are doubling the amount of transactions we do month over month. And that's just what the index sees. There's another, at least double that amount, because every payment is minimum 2 transactions, 1 to the index, 1 to the podcaster.
Mm-hmm.
So, and by the way, I had a nice chat with Roy from Breeze today, and he's also looking at their growth based on transactions per month. And we we correlated, and it's almost spot on. It makes so much sense. And the number of transactions.
It's good to have verification that that's correct.
Yeah, and actually, Ryan is doing the Lightning Labs monthly newsletter, and he asked me, and I said, "Well, you know, there's this metric that we're using." He said, "Yeah, look, I know I got Roy's too." I was like, "Hey, man, you're talking to us behind our backs." I will say just briefly on Roy, because he just gave me a general update where they're at, and they're about to release a new version, and. You know, he's very deep into LND and all the things that are issues because we still have tons of issues, you know, channel closings, all kinds of stuff, CPU usage now in 0.13 or something. I don't know, there's all kinds of stuff going on always. So I love getting that update. He said, well, what can we do for you, Adam? So, well, what every developer I've spoken to would really like to have is a connect to this wallet button.
Yes. And he said, so much.
And he said, look, that is just, the mobile operating system's just technically impossible because they literally have to run side by side, or they have both have to be in the foreground. He says, now you can do it with Android where you split screens. And he said, but you know, I say, you don't have to tell me, it's a stupid solution, obviously. But he did reiterate to me, he says, we don't care about the branding or anything like that. He says, if we can put Breeze technology into an existing app, we would love that. And they still will manage all the essentially what I was advocating for months ago. But now we have, you know, he's told me that if someone seriously wants to integrate the Breeze code into their app, so they just have a wallet that they don't have to think about that just works, they're ready, willing, and able to help.
Oh, that's cool. I mean, I wonder how hard that is.
I think it's hard. I think, and I think it's hard because it's not like, oh, let me just code up this API. You know, there's all kinds of shit that your app will have to do in order for that to function. And to me, it almost seems like give me the whole Breeze wallet and let me put all of my functionality into it. Kind of like what they did with the Anytime player.
Right. Right. So you would have to strap your player onto the Breeze wallet.
I think so. But you're essentially, so they would be white labeling their whole wallet and you just do your thing on top of it. You don't have to show any of the other stuff. But then, you know, you'd have built in the channel management, the Bitcoin buying from Moon or whatever they do. All of that would be, because above all, they're a Lightning service provider and they want to create the Lightning ecosystem. And it's not important to them if it's the Breeze, you know, it's not to them. The end goal is not the Breeze podcast app. Their goal is to lightningify the entire economy. So if they can do anything to get this going with other apps, you know, Roy gave his personal commitment. They're small, but you know, they will do it. But he says it takes serious development. It's not a joke. I don't think it's easy at all.
Yeah.
But I've learned that nothing is really easy.
Well, the ultimate solution, I'm not going to say better, but the ultimate solution to a quick, you know, painless entry is LMPay. And we've got to get that thing figured out where we can hook that thing up on the back end for whoever, you know, I'm not going to say it's straightforward on the app side because there are a lot of challenges. I mean, Mitch and Martin, I mean, they've all been, you know, trying to figure this thing out.
Well, it's all philosophy. You know, it's like, Martin has no problem holding other people's API keys.
Yeah.
And, you know, and he has no problem. He clearly doesn't exude any problem having that responsibility. By the way, stop this show.
What?
I received in my PO box.
Nice.
A Podfriend Podcast Index pillow case.
What?
Oh, wait, yeah.
I don't have one of those.
Oh, no. This thing, it's big enough for the Podfather's ass. You got to put your own pillow in. It's beautiful. It must be 2x2.
A pillow case?
Yes. Yeah.
I didn't know that was an option.
So on one side, it's like a huge double-sided flag. On one side, it's the now very familiar PodFriend logo. On the other side, it's the Podcast Index logo. And along with that came my very own, I'm sorry, Tina's podcast friend mug. Because
nice.
I'm like, oh, look. And she went, yeah, that's so nice of him to send that to me. Took it away. So nice. I get the pillow.
I didn't know pillows were an option. I'm like oozing, dude, I'm oozing jealousy.
Yes, here. You should be. You should be total jelly. Anyway, so nice. Back to
I knew that one was coming. I was in on that.
Yeah, I know you gave him the P.O. box, I'm sure. I appreciate that. So on the other hand, you have Mitch, and he doesn't want to hold any of that shit.
Right.
And you know, so there's, what do you get? Look, I'm already happy that when I hit a boost button, I get confetti jizz from everybody. That to me is the best branding ever. And I appreciate Mitch for putting that in there. I'll even look past your crypto settings label because of the confetti.
Crypto.
Yeah. I don't like the crypto term, but that's just me.
I mean, it's
it keeps it open for other stuff, I guess.
Well, it's imperative that we have priorities when it comes to building an open standard, and confetti is clearly one of those.
Well, it's the most important. It's the most important of all standard items. it's our secret branding. No, I love that. I think that's fantastic. But anyway, so that's also where we stagnate. Oh, another thing I should tell you: Roy is looking seriously at integrating Matrix.
Yeah, Alex Gates has posted about Matrix a few times, and I will claim utter ignorance about it.
I don't have utter ignorance, but I've looked at it. I know there's, you know, whatever works. I mean, I personally would just love to have something that works similar to Sphinx Chat, because I think paying for your messages is a smart way to go. I get zero traction on that.
I'm not going to push back necessarily, but I will say that the only downside to that is then the downside now, like right now in the game, is that when you tie the chat to Lightning, then the Lightning channels, then it like falls down in the same way that the payments fall down.
Yes.
If something goes wrong.
Yes, I understand. I understand.
Yeah. And so like it seems, because that's the only thing that we're struggling with here. Sometimes those channels just fall over. But
the thing is, and I took Gene's comment to heart on our previous Jitsi call. Mm-hmm. The Jitsi where we discussed the confetti jizz.
This is way too
confetti
much.
Confetti jizz Jitsi. That once you have comments, you introduce a whole host of things. And and one of them is moderation. And I just really, now, So what I noticed with this Sphinx Chat app, besides some obvious issues that always crop up with channels and routing and liquidity to make it actually function, you know, the chats are not very long, not very debated. It's not like Telegram where I tune in like, oh, there's 14,000 messages in this one group. Yeah. It's because it costs money. So I'm, you know, that's just a philosophical thing. It's going to cost podcast app developers money to implement this, to maintain it. So I, you know, to me, it's like, well, why don't we just make it actually money, and then you make it that much easier.
I agree. I on a philosophical level, I agree 100%. You can play ISO giving people power.
Ooh, we love doing that.
Giving people power and expecting them to be disciplined about it is completely insane.
Where's that from?
That is from, we can do a little bit of this if you want to. That comes from New York Times podcast called The Argument, which I'm actually a big fan of. The lady, and I forgot her name, the lady who runs it, who hosts it, is like I think she was with Slate or Salon. No. I'm sorry, Vox. So I saw that she was with Vox, and I was like, bleh, you know. But then I look up her history, and she's really fair. Like, she is like
Wait, this is not Kara Swisher, is it?
No. Okay. I forgot. No, this is not Kara Swisher. I forgot this lady's name, but she's really good. Like, I looked up a lot of her former articles and stuff like that, and she really plays it down the middle and tries to be honest with things. So I'm actually digging the show a lot.
All right.
She brings up, like in one of the episodes, she brings up the whole thing about the filibuster, and she's talking about, she's giving equal size, and that's what that clip is from. But then, I was listening to, I started it over, and I'm not sure if it's dynamic ads or what it is, but I think I started it back to get a clip from it, and this is what showed up: Facebook pre-roll.
Okay. This podcast is supported by Facebook. 25 years ago, phones weren't smart yet, and people still said, fax it to me. The internet has changed a lot since 1996, but that's the last time comprehensive internet regulations were passed. That's why Facebook wants updated internet regulations to set clear guidelines for addressing today's toughest challenges. Protecting privacy, enabling safe and easy data portability between platforms, and more. Learn more about why Facebook supports updated internet regulations at about.fb.com/regulations.
Wow, that's a good catch. There you go. That's how you do it. You lobby all the politicians, and then you make sure there's really expensive regulations that cost a lot of money to adhere to, and then you make it impossible for new entrants.
And then you buy pre-rolls on the New York Times podcast.
That's what you do. That's what you do. That's America, baby.
Clearly, when I think Facebook, I think that their main desires are data portability, privacy,
freedom of speech, all of that.
I love
the data portability. I think they want the portability so they can suck up someone else's data. They're not going to give that back to you. Yeah, here's a CSV file. Good luck.
CSV. Yeah. Here's a 47 gig CSV. Have fun.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is.
No, I mean, what was interesting to me about the whole Spotify thing is, you know, you take all the Spotify subscription crap, and then you sort of, now they're sprinkling a little bit of Facebook on top of it in some weird way.
Here's what I don't understand. I don't understand the obsession. This is a spell. And it's particularly the press, the media, the journalists. Oh, Apple did something. Apple farted. And I've been, I used Apples all my life until I started really looking what they were doing with professional audio and video, and didn't work for me anymore, especially how they were messing around. You know, USB is a mess, all kinds of stuff. But I have no core issues. I'm not a hater. I mean, just listen to all of the podcasts, all of the fawning over, Apple's changed it to follow instead of subscribe. Oh, that means subscriptions are coming. Oh, I'm so excited. And then it comes and it's like, it's a wet fart and everybody knows it. And don't worry. Apple will fix the bug. It's not the bug. Don't worry. Apple will fix it. Hey, get a clue, people. Apple doesn't care about you. That's it. They don't care. They don't care.
My favorite part was how certain people couldn't get into upload their shows for like a week.
And then yesterday I posted No Agenda Show with some of the shittiest audio in my professional career.
I just want to send my condolences.
Thank you. That
hurts you.
Yeah. Well, you know. Yes, I can draw many parallels and you'd understand. You understand. I did remaster. I was able to fix a little bit. But anyway, and I see all these people. Has it shown up on the Apple app? Can you upload it to Apple? What are you on? Yeah, I'm on the new one. Oh, okay. Yeah. 5 hours. Hasn't updated. Well, it's time to look at newpodcastapps.com. We have such an opportunity here.
I agree. So this is a point I want to bring up.
Do you like my voice, by the way, of all the different players out there on the internet? That's my Twitter, my array of Twitter voices, actually.
Yeah, they all, that's probably pretty much what when I read them, that's the voice I do in my head. That sounds pretty accurate. Here's the thing I think we talked about this last week, but I want to say this even more. There is such an easy way to fix this. The Apple Podcast app evidently is hot garbage. I haven't even seen it yet. And everybody is concerned about them limiting, you know, the open podcast ecosystem. It is so easy to fix this. Recommend people to use different apps.
Yeah.
On your show and on your hosting platform. So hosting companies like, Buzzsprout, Blueberry, Transistor, Captivate, Fireside, they can, RSS.com, they can, like, when you sign up for a new account, they can say, here's some great apps that support, like, 2.0 features and just give you an overall better listener experience. Here's a good list. And why don't you, and encourage them to say that on their show, you know, to recommend to their audience that, that their audience listen to, just like you do. I mean, you do on your shows, you say, if you're listening to this in a podcasting 2.0 player, you're seeing chapters now, seeing this,
you're seeing transcripts. As of yesterday's show, I am highlighting and mentioning, one app per show. So yesterday I said, all right, cool. I want you to check out Podfriend, podfriend.com. I'm hoping that Podverse is available for Sunday. It doesn't matter because, we have so many of them. And I'm just going to rotate that. And even John, because, it's always weird. You're promoting some. We don't really promote anything in the show. But I said, there's some issues here. And he says, podcasting's under attack. It's like, yeah. I said, you need to use a different app because your shit's not going to work. It's going to get turned off. And I know that we've just, and you're so right, Dave, to our friends and colleagues and, participants at the hosting companies, I am somewhat from the future. Sometimes it takes a long time before you can't bet on me. Okay. Because the bet always comes 10 years late, but you're in trouble. You've got to be careful. There are moves being made and I think Apple and Spotify are the least of your worries. Stop looking over there. You've got decentralization taking place before your very eyes. So, you need to take that into your strategy. You need to take it into account moving forward. Because things are going to be happening, and particularly with network effect and how it works with, it didn't take long for Clubhouse to be a sensation. It won't take long for one app or something to happen and then all of a sudden, you may be out of the hosting business. You may be out of the file hosting business. You may be relegated to God knows what. But I agree. Now is the time. Because it's not my enemy. Apple's not my enemy. I think they've neutered themselves, as has Spotify. That's fine. While they're weak, strike. This is the time when we should be promoting the way forward. We have the brand, Podcasting 2.0. That is our brand. It's recognized. You can go anywhere and people, it's over there, those guys. Now is the time, and it's better. There's nothing better than Spotify and Apple than, version 2.0. Why am I mucking around with this shit? I get pretty passionate about this.
I think we all do. And that's what I talked to. I actually talked to a hosting company yesterday. And we were talking about a little bit about that, about how, the threat to the landscape and all that jazz. And I really think there's this idea in philosophy rhetoric or philosophical arguments, whatever you want to call it, where you say, you never challenge the man with the microphone, or the man with the microphone always wins. And, it's this idea that, if you have a dispute or you want to contradict the professor, in charge of who's in the front of the class, you really don't want to do that. You really don't want to do that during the class because he's the man with the microphone. He's going to win every time. And podcasting individual and podcasters are literally an army of microphones.
That's right.
They are
with an audience of Twitter users and Facebook users. Yeah. And they love their favorite podcasts.
If every podcaster took it on themselves to recommend to their audience to just try a different podcast app, that needle would move radically away from the big players.
Especially when they start to see some of the features. And I would say that, mm-hmm. that in the chicken and the egg of podcasting, it's my experience that it's really the listeners who make that happen. Listeners need to tell their podcasters. That's the big one. So you get one or two listeners saying, hey, man, check out this app. The podcaster looks at the app and then more likely than not, hey, that's kind of cool. And then they will talk about it. So it's listeners have this is a listener driven revolution, not podcasters. It's the listeners who are driving it.
But the hosts can take a more active role.
No, but the hosts are completely oblivious to it. We have 200 people, less than 200, who have a value block. No one, the rest doesn't know. The listeners have to start propagating that to their podcasters. Then the podcasters are clueless still, I think.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, the podcasters are clueless. But see but that's where the hosting companies can take an active role in it.
Absolutely.
That's their big benefit.
Yes. That's their USP. Yeah, they should be doing nodes and all kinds of stuff for their podcasters.
And the education piece. The education piece is because they can actively fight back against this.
We're already winning.
Yeah,
I really
see some of them realize.
No, but we're winning. All of this stuff is because there was something too powerful. RSS was coming to the forefront. It's extended. Hey, wait a minute. Mm-hmm. They're doing features only we can do with our infrastructure. Blah, 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 blah. I love
that. We have, we introduced channels. The idea that you can put multiple podcasts into a channel.
Dave goes, hold my beer.
Tom Rossi popped up and said and put that in the issues. I was like, man, you beat me to it. I mean, I was literally about to create this issue.
Oh, did Rossi put it in first? Was Rossi put in? Oh, that's fantastic. Yeah, that's what I mean. It's like, podcasting 2.0 goes, hold my beer. Let me get that feature for you.
I just think that you're right. I think we are winning, and I think there's certain people that have been in the Apple spell for so long that they don't realize it yet. And so, this part of our mission too, really, with Podcast Index is to convince people that they are actually winning,
Yes.
Like, no, yes. you're doing just fine. Just put the gas, put the pedal down.
Now, to ensure that when we win, we really win, I'd like to introduce our guest for today, who has been sitting by quite patiently as we've been yapping along. This is not just any old guest. He is, in fact, a partner in Podcast Index LLC. And we have many names for him, but I would say accurately described as the Swiss Army knife of the Index. Ladies and gentlemen, Eric Mackey.
How you doing, Adam Dave?
Yay,
Eric. The turd Ferguson of Podcast Index.
The turd. Don't get that reference.
Saturday Night Live sketch. You don't get it.
No, I don't watch. I haven't watched Saturday Night Live in 10 years.
So it's probably about the time that sketch was there.
So let me give you a little background. Then you need to introduce yourself properly because people have only heard of you maybe as Eric the Shill from the No Agenda show or just
that
plain
bastard.
Old Eric. No, I don't think I've ever called you rat bastard, but. Not to your face, but the most important thing is now when Dave and I started all of this and we saw that, okay, this is serious. I said, all right, we need to get the right person in who can think with us on the same level and protect our ass so we, A, don't go to jail, B, don't do something stupid that could just ruin the whole project. And the go to jail part was regarding the idea that we knew that somehow Bitcoin would play or Lightning would play into this. Someone who would set up all the legal stuff. And we've effectively, Eric, you and I have been working together in some of that capacity with the No Agenda show for how long now?
12
almost,
years?
Almost since the beginning. So probably, 11, 12 years.
Yeah.
So why don't you give us a little bit of your background and how you came to be and came into this project?
Yeah, let's see. My background professionally was IT, and then enterprise software for companies either in Redmond or Seattle or the Valley or wherever. And then I got into consulting, and have done business consulting. Well, I grew into business consulting and everything else with code on the side. And then you and John got together and that started taking off and you needed, well, John wanted me to come in and help, which I'm his stepson. So he wanted someone he could trust.
Oh, and, always a dangerous combination to work with family, though.
Well, yeah, but the family is a big, giant business anyway, so it just kind of...
It's a giant business, and Mimi really runs it, right?
Yes.
Just wanted to make sure. Yeah, I mean, so you've been doing all the books, and you do the donation notes. I mean, it's really an unsung hero of the No Agenda show because of the, and I would say also a lot of donor outreach. You're always talking to producers and always dealing with a lot of crap that you keep away from, certainly from me.
Well, and keep it running, keep the drama low and just, you know, just fend off potential problems.
Right. So I asked you to come into the Index Project and, you know, with the initial goal of, you know, let's set up the LLC, let's set up our legality, right. Let's make sure we can even do this. I mean, what, you know, just all of that stuff. And now you've really expanded into more. So why don't you talk about what you're doing so you can tell the rest of the board members here. Hello, everybody. They're all sitting on pod friend pillows.
It's a full boardroom today.
It's a full boardroom.
Let everybody know what you're doing.
Well, yeah, it's, I guess I'm working on, kind of what you guys are working on, you know, Dave's working on the namespace, Dave's working on the API, doing all that code, but there's still some packaging front end heading off kind of the same thing with producers or, you know, with the show is that they need things, they need tools, they need that. So we're working on both the, getting the on-ramp streamlined. And easier to use and
for podcasters?
Yes, for podcasters. And, you know, take some of the support stuff that Dave's doing and give them the tools to solve it themselves, but then also providing some of the other things that, you know, watching the various channels where the developers are talking about the issues they're having and the things they're running it, and then so that's where we have like the image server coming up and
yeah, that's what you're working on that. I want to hear you talk about that too.
Yeah, so the image caching server where it's goofy, but it's working slowly to cache all the feed images. Eventually it'll support episode and chapter images. So they're cached in four basic sizes for app developers to just call. So they don't have to deal with caching and storing 3 million or whatever active, you know, chapter and episode and channel images.
That it's basically the same concept that we had or similar concept to what we had at the beginning when we tried and that project failed, but you're actually going to take it and make it actually function this time. But you know,
yeah, it's up. It's caching trending constantly. There's three processes running, one to constantly cache and update trending and the stuff that's being added, but then there's another one that's coming up to get everybody else.
So when is this going to be ready for prime time? When can devs start using it?
Right now it's got about 400,000 feeds cached. So,
oh yeah. You want to have all the feeds cached before you unleash it.
I have all the constantly updating or the, you know, No Agenda and stuff like that. And the trending, the ones that update a lot are getting cached, but I want to make sure I have at least a million feeds in there.
Got it.
What would help you? I mean, do you need a list of the ones that are getting called a lot? What would help you prioritize? Cause you know, you don't want to, I know how you're thinking. It's the same thing I'm hearing is, well, I don't want to cache 3.5 million shows when only 100,000 of them get requested. Like, how can we make sure that we're not wasting that?
Not sure. Right now, what it is, I have to go in and just work on speed. It's just caching too slow right now.
But if maybe I'm just simplistic this way, if an app is using the image service and it requests a show XYZ and it's not cached, presumably it would cache it, and then you'd have it, right? Then you wouldn't have to worry about that for the time being.
Well, it does serve up a no image file, so there is a fallback, so you don't get a broken link. But it's not currently caching on the fly. There's a backend to store it, but.
I wonder if I could ship you the logs from like maybe the last, maybe logs from like the last 90 days, and you could just do those first, prioritize those. Would that help? Yes,
that's doable.
Okay, because it's like if an app has not requested a list of episodes for a feed ID in the last 90 days, it's probably not worth, you know, prioritizing. And then you could keep backfilling in the background, but then
right.
the ones no, that totally. People actually need they're in there, and then you could launch quicker.
Yeah, right now I'm just going off last update date and just crawling that back.
Now, is this something that the developers desperately need?
I don't know if it's desperate, but it's actually pretty important. They're really struggling with that because it's when you request an image off, you know, when you just all you have is an image URL and you request that thing, you really have no idea what you're going to get.
Right. Here comes that 20 meg PDF.
Yeah, right.
And we got a TIFF coming down the line for you. And it's 3000 DPI.
Well, yeah, and if it's a 4,000 pixel wide image, but you're serving up on a phone, you don't need to load all that data.
Right. Okay. I got it. That makes a hell of a lot of sense. It's a nice service.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. It's trying to backfill where I can with what Dave's doing.
Well, so you're talking about the onboarding a while ago. Right. And what that means is you're creating a way for people to claim their feed and be able to get in there and do some basic stuff with it so that we don't have to. And well, that and also add their feed. So if they created their feed over here on Transistor, then they can, and they notice this not in the index, they can, you know, create an account and plug and put their feed in. Right.
Right. And then generate a value block down the road or after that.
Okay. Yeah, that's something that's been sorely missing is a way for people to put feeds into the index from the public. And it's just one of those things, like, you know, I appreciate this kind of thing that you're doing, Eric, because it's so hard to stop looking at the technical functional piece of the API and go over here and write something that's like a forgot password link.
Yeah. I'm like, it's the dirty business. It's the dirty business, man. Totally.
No, it's the packaging and it's all the side stuff. And it's like, yeah, you've got this and I really want you focusing on that and Lightning and frankly, the things I need more than resetting a feed or adding a feed or, you know, any of these other things that are just, they're overhead.
So I've got something I want to ask you about, and this is regarding Alex was asking some issues about, he's running like a side service. He's running a noagendatube.com. Mm-hmm. And I think this would apply to lots of different things that people are doing with Podcast Index. These little sort of side services, if they want to, if they want to take donations, or allow for things, if they want to operate more like a business, even though it's just something small, like a side project, you know, because like people are wondering, well, if I create this side project, something like, let's just say Andy Lehman's Soundbites website, he's got a thing that monitors all the recent soundbites in the index and then shows them so you can sort of browse them. Like a site like that, if let's just say he wants to graduate that thing up to the next level, so to speak, and he wants to be able to take like have people comment on the site, and maybe he wants to take donations and that kind of thing. Is there certain advice from like a business perspective that you would give people on do they need to go to all the trouble of starting an LLC or something like that? Or can they just do that in a safe way?
There's a couple different layers to that. If you like keeping your house and your assets, I would say put a corporation between you and everybody else. If you're going to do anything that involves, well, if you're going to invest any money to buy equipment and services and you're spending money, then from a tax perspective, yeah, you should set up a business so you can write that stuff off. If you're going to be making money, you know, it should be compartmentalized from both a liability and accounting standpoint. If it's just a side business and you're not, I mean, I guess the line for me is if you're going to spend more than $5,000 in a year, I would say spend the money, spend a couple $100, set up an LLC and go through the trouble. Because then it's worth it on your taxes and likely you're underestimating how much you're going to spend.
Yeah.
And you might as well, why pay tax on it? Why not write off the expenses? You can write up to $50,000 for a business startup on your personal. So
in America, why not? In the United States,
I don't do European stuff. So, or the rest of the world. So yeah, I'm talking exclusively with the US.
Here's an example. Like Martin at Podfriend, I know he's really wanting to do comments and like podcast reviews and stuff in the app and, right, and possibly chat type stuff. So, I mean, from a legal standpoint, what does he need to do to make sure, I mean, ignoring the fact that he's from that he's domiciled in Denmark, but what would he or somebody like him need to do to make sure that legally they're not going to get screwed by somebody posting something on his website that should be taken down or something like that?
Well, I mean, you do have the Copyright Office with the US for the, you know, DMCA, but or Digital Millennium Copyright Act. But that's US.
And this is legal. This is legal advice. He is a lawyer. And so you can, I'm just kidding. No, that's not true.
Yeah. Like I said, if you're getting accounting and legal advice from a podcast, you know, good luck.
Well, but I think it's probably more helpful because of course we can't give anyone any advice, but maybe just to tell people what we've done is better than trying to look at individual situations. So to protect us, what have you done in that regard?
So we set up, obviously, LLC, separate books, separate accounting, and then we've registered to comply with the Digital Millennium Copyright Act. So we have a notice and a policy and a mechanism for people to submit requests and what that, you know, per the law. And that gives us Section 230 protections from, you know, and then the other thing is we're not doing, we're not being an editor of content is the other thing, is drawing that line of what we're going to do and, you know, how far we're going to go with the rest of it. It's just limiting liabilities. Well,
but what's interesting is that comes right down to the Section 230 discussion that's ongoing with the social media companies is, you know, when is it editorial? Just because, you know, like I didn't like what that guy said, I'm taking that comment off, or I don't want, you know, let's say, and it's just so, when it comes to comments and stuff, man, there's a lot of things you got to think about. There's so much and so many. If you want to do moderation, you need real tools and not just a command line, nuke this or hide that.
Yeah, I don't know that I have the background to cover the comments and what's involved there, and the liabilities that would open up and how you'd protect yourself from that. I mean, he should, because he's operating and he's making money, or at least he's spending money. He should probably set up some sort of business and do that from the accounting side.
I think that a lot of people are just now starting to think about the implications, because these apps matter. You got real users, you know, real thing is taking place. Probably the thing that you've looked at the most is the U.S. regulation towards crypto, Bitcoin in particular, that may or may not affect what we're doing moving forward.
Right. Well, a lot of the countries that are part of the FATF and/GAFI the financial, whatever the hell, task force. They have their recommendations with crypto, and they have all their member countries, and a lot of those member countries are taking those recommendations seriously. So in a lot of ways, what's coming in the US is going to happen in a lot of other
right.
member countries, EU and everybody else. And I've been, you know, I'm watching, trying to gauge what's coming, you know, and like the way you brought me in to be a part of this was really to kind of bridge what you guys want to do and reconciling that with current laws and making sure that everything's,
legal.
Well, so we're covered. Yeah. And just, you know, so we're compliant. And when, you know, if someone wants to come ask questions, we can say, okay, well, here you go.
I would say the number one argument we have with Eric is know your customer. we need to know who these people are. And Dave and I got, no, we don't. No, we'll just shut it down, man. We don't want to know who anyone is.
We'll just shut it down. Yeah.
And I love, and I really do love that friction because Eric, you totally are the guy who has to ask the crap questions.
I have to be the buzzkill.
And it's really appreciated because it sucks sometimes, you know, and you get someone's opinionated like me, like, I'm ready to cut anybody down. Although I've gotten better. It's important. It really is. It's an important function to keep everything running, and it also really helps determine what we can do, what we should be doing, and the path for Podcast Index itself.
Right, and it's just my, you know, I guess I'm the buzzkill in the group because I have to go, no, we can't do that. Here's why, you know. Which sucks, but, you know, because I am supportive and I understand it and I see the sides, but at the same time, I have to be the normie buzzkill.
Well, you're going to love this. I was talking to Mark Hall. He's a documentary filmmaker here in Austin, who I've known for, I've known him for 8 years or so. And he saw animated No Agenda working on, I think, Podfriend. And he says, right. Hey, Adam, there's a whole universe right now of documentary filmmakers who have films who cannot get onto the streaming platforms. They're not even accepted. They can't monetize. Right. If they can monetize, it's worse than Spotify, how little money they get. He says, everyone is so desperate. We really want to see, can we fit within this stuff that you're doing? And I said, well, yes, why don't we, you know, of course what they would love is an app that said documentary film app. Right. I said, well, I don't know if you actually want that. And said, you know, just consider this as a podcast, a very long episode. And what he's committed to is he feels that the value for value model will work because all of these films, they always have, although often not much, but they have budget for promotion, and they really would love to promote value for value documentary consumption through podcasting 2.0. And he's committed his, I would say, outstanding documentary, Killing Ed, to be the first one. And so the challenge, and you know, if we can make it work, I would say he will go out and he will tell everyone to come and do this. And he says he thinks there's a couple of people who would jump on pretty quick. So the challenge is we need someone who can help him with this.
Okay.
And he's got the video file. And I'm just bringing this up, Eric, just because it's going to be so much fun when we get into copyright and royalties of film guys.
Oh, yeah. So much fun.
It's going to be. Now, I'm sure he owns everything outright, but if I don't know if Alex is game, if he wants to work with the video and just, you know, how do we get a proper RSS feed? We only really need a feed with one entry. But he also sees the benefit. He says, holy crap, the transcripts. Yeah. So we, you know, transcript needs to be run. So I'm sure that there may be someone out there who's listening who wants to, participate in what we're doing at Podcasting 2.0. And I'm sure the parties involved, like Alex, etc., everyone will meet on Podcast Index on social, and let's get this done. Because I know if I commit to doing it, it's going to suck. It's not going to happen right. It's going to be frustrating for me, and it won't be as good as it could be. And, you know, we need He would like to do chapters, and he'll work. He'll do whatever's necessary.
We've got the trailer awesome. Tag coming this phase too.
I mean, all of this stuff fits so perfectly. And I said, you know, you don't really want an independent documentary app. You want this shit working. You want to say, get a podcasting 2.0 app.
Yeah, every app.
Every don't app. Limit it. Yeah, not one. Every app. Yeah, but you know, you got to break through the spell sometimes. Anyway, so I thought
everyone in that mindset.
No one's in the mindset, man. Everyone is. I just go back to the. I just see people under spell. Apple and Spotify.
Eric, have we had our union vote yet? me and Adam would like to unionize against you as management.
Yeah, we do.
No unions.
Did you see the Gimlet and Ringer ratified their union contracts with the Writers Guild of America?
No, I didn't. Yeah. But this is the end of that.
No, here's my favorite part. Let me read. I have the distilled set of points that they agreed to. This is my favorite one. Editorial. Well, let me try this one first. Establishment of new senior titles. That's one of the things that they won in their negotiations.
Oh, yeah. So now, the important stuff up top.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, everybody's
in parking. Free spot. Parking. We want more lunch coupons.
Everybody's a VP now. and here's my favorite, though. Editorial standards that guarantee that the company will not modify or fail to publish content based on the direction of advertisers, and that bargaining unit employees will not be required to work on advertising and branded content.
Yeah, I know. That is actually the big issue, and they hate the ads that are running on their shows, and they hate having to work on ads for products that they philosophically or politically don't agree with.
How could you ever agree to this? Editorial standards that guarantee the company will not modify or fail to publish content based on the direction of advertisers. That's the whole reason you exist.
Yeah. Yeah. No, they don't realize it. And it's sad because this is what I was saying. It's like, go ahead. Yeah, you're going to see what it's like. I ran a podcasting company. I ran a podcast network. It can't be done. Everyone gets unhappy. These people are unhappy because they're getting paid shit. And they see all these hundreds of millions like, well, why am I still getting paid shit to edit these shows together? The model of podcasting really doesn't even support a separate editor.
Yeah.
It really doesn't. It's a one-man show or two, whatever you're doing, but you can't be hiring people. You will not make money that way, which is why our system is so beautiful, because everybody gets a split of whatever comes in.
Yeah. And for Podcast Index, it's beautiful because we don't make any money anyway. So
yeah. Speaking of such, Dave, let's thank some of our supporters for this past week. Personally, I think that I think everyone should congratulate themselves, not on this show particularly, but the entire boardroom, because we prepared for what happened, and it happened, and we were ready, and we were there to step up, and our apps were working, and we were able to we pick up like 10, 15 new developers who are coming in, and not just app developers, but websites with certain types of functionality. And it's all because of the support that everyone has put into this project. It's your time, it's your talent, it's your treasure. And I just gave a little challenge there for people to put some time into something. But people who offer us treasure is equally as important, sometimes more so, certainly to keep everything running. So go to podcastindex.org. Down at the bottom, you see a big red donate button. That's for your cuck bucks through PayPal. But you can also just boost the crap out of the show right now. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, get Podfriend, Breeze, the Sphinx Chat, or even the PodStation browser extension. Learn how to do it. You can. And then boost us. And crank those value sliders up, too.
I was going to toast you with my Podfriend mug, but Tina stole it.
Yes. So.
Forget it. I'll just throw it on your pillow. Well, Martin Morrison from Podfriend fame gave us $123.45.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, a magic donation. Martin, thank you so much. That's unnecessary, but appreciated.
That is $123.45 in U.S. currency. What is the Danish currency called?
I think it's 17,000 kroner.
Oh, okay.
Which is the kroner is probably equal to Satoshis. I'm not sure. I'll bet you the kroner is actually quite strong. Let me see. Danish kroner. And you know that shit's strong. You know that's. Let me see. I think it's the kroner. He's the kroner. Kroner.
I mean, like some of those countries in that area still have gold backing, right? Or is that all gone away?
Oh, please.
Okay, Fred.
No, don't fool yourself.
I was being silly.
Don't fool yourself. Let's see what the DKK to USD rate is. Hold on.
Because I'm afraid we just rated his retirement fund.
Let me see. Select a currency. Yeah, just hurry up, people. Just give me the functionality. What is going on with this? It's...
Martin says, a small gift from Podfriend. You guys are awesome. I'm happy to play a small part in the greatest movement for distributed free speech in the universe. Aww. Thank you, Martin.
That's so nice. That's very, very cool. Okay, let me see. So...
Did you find a... Is it kroner? Is that what it is?
It's 6.18 kroner to the dollar.
Ooh, that's worse than Australia. That's not good, Martin.
Yeah. You better buy some Bitcoin, son.
That's his exit strategy.
He's probably stacking some sats. Man, we had a beautiful little exchange with... your namesake there, Neil Jones, who's the clip custodian for No Agenda Show. And he's doing clips and he was happy to do it. And I said, look, man, I got to give you 5% of the value block. He had 60,000 sats he'd already gotten.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. He had 60,000 sats and his Sphinx channel, was full. He said it stopped receiving. I said, well, okay. So we helped him out with that. But, bottom line is, that kind of added up.
Yeah. That's not anything to shake a stick at. What's 60,000 sats? I mean, it's like, what's that, 100 bucks?
No. 37 or something at this point.
No, Neil, he can take Mrs. Clip Custodian to dinner.
Yes. Let's see. I don't know if there's a Mrs. Clip Custodian.
Well, he can go get one now.
Yeah, exactly. Big baller. Hello, baby. Here's my Satoshi Lambo.
Can you imagine that on your first date from a Tinder match or something like that? You're like, you tell the waitress, you're like, hey, can I pay in sats? Exactly. Like your date's like, what have I gotten myself into? Okay. Exactly. Michael Valick gave us $25 and no note that I could find.
Oh, thank you, Michael. Much appreciated.
Yep. Let's see here. Who we got? James Liu gave us $5. No note.
Thank you.
Thank you, James.
Hey, is Dreb Scott's wallet still working? Because I saw that failing on Podverse. Is that still working or not?
No, I think it's good.
Yeah.
Man, okay. Last I heard.
All right, Dreb, you got to let us know.
Good, tell me.
Yeah, you got to let us know, man.
Stuart Eckert gave us $5. No note.
Thank you, Stuart.
Yeah. And I wanted to read our monthly donors that came in this week because I've been bad about not doing that.
Please do.
I'm just going to run through those real quick.
Yes, please do. Please do.
Larry Hayes or Hey Moose gave us $50. Droid Works LLC, $20. Jeff Miller, $20. Dreb Scott, $15. Michael Kimmerer, $5.33. Stu Coates, $6.66. Leslie Martin, $2. Terry Keller, $4.11. Aaron Reno, $5. Pedro Goncalves, $5. And Kevin Roa, $5. So I'm going to be better about that, reading those ones that come in during the week each week, monthly donors.
That's really appreciated. Thank you all so much for keeping everything running, keeping us on the road.
This is on a post-it note, so I'm just going to do a real tiny one.
Was there, how are we on servers, Dave, with the, I know we have increased traffic to the API. Are we good?
Everything. We were oversized. Smooth? Yeah, we were oversized a bit to begin with. So I think we're okay on the database stuff. Everything's okay right now. We will have to upsize the database server at some point, but I'm just not sure it's right this minute. I mean, I'm just thinking within the next few weeks. Okay. And Yeah, then we're good. It's a big jump from the size we're at now to the next step up.
Next level, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm just trying to make sure that we don't do that unnecessarily. But so, we're good.
So there's a couple things I think that you're working on that I think we should discuss. And I think you're getting ready to present Podping, which to me feels like it's kind of the future of the index and its survivability.
Yeah, I'm interested to get your take on this, Eric, because we really hadn't had a chance to talk about this. And I'm almost done with the presentation for tomorrow. I think we're going to have a thing tomorrow.
Yeah, I think we're doing a thing tomorrow, yeah.
Okay. So, yeah, Podping is this idea of just basically a closed network of hosts. When I say hosts, I should say hosting companies, or what we could call publishers, and subscribers, apps and services. And so you got hosts on publishers on one end, subscribers on the other, just the same as you would think about a web sub scenario, but it's just a closed system. And so there will be multiple servers in the middle of this system, facilitating a pipeline of updates going from publishers to subscribers. And I think if we do it right, we can solve multiple problems at once. And one will be a way to rapidly get feed update notifications from publishers to subscribers. The other is a way to get new feeds into the open RSS ecosystem. Because one thing that's a problem here is that you have all these hosts. Okay, so you got Buzzsprout, Blueberry, Transistor, Captivate, Fireside, RSS.com. You've got all these hosts independently creating feeds. And in the past, for all these years, they've been aggregated into a single directory somewhere. And Apple became sort of the dominant somewhere. There's other directories. Now there's us. There's Blueberry, blah, blah, blah. So these other directories, the problem is they did not always, you have to just go find them almost by accident. You have to find these feeds, or you have to scrape Apple. Well, neither one of those are good, accurate, any of the above. Podping would allow all the hosts or hosting companies, publishers, podcast publishers to have a pipeline into all of the into anybody who's listening. So they would, anytime that they did a feed on their network updates, they'll send an update ping. Anytime a podcast gets created on their network, they can send a ping to let everybody know a new podcast was just born on my system. And so everybody gets notified that there's now a new podcast in the world within, 10 minutes. And that lets us not depend on any one directory to have the source of truth or to be the yellow pages. Everybody can just know automatically that a new feed was created. And then the other thing that it solves to me is the ability to create a universal podcast identifier, which is something we've never had. Everybody's trying to use iTunes IDs and stuff.
That seems like that's a dying idea.
Well, yeah, I mean, and Apple's the one that killed it.
Yeah.
By making it unreliable. Now you can't depend on a podcast being on an iTunes ID, being able to return a feed URL.
Right.
So what good does the iTunes ID give you anymore? So anyway, that's the whole idea behind this system. And it's closed so that it's closed so that you can make things easier and more efficient, so that you don't have to go through all these hoops to weed out bad actors and that kind of stuff. It's basically just a registration process that you have to go through to sign up on the publisher side. Anybody can listen. There'll still be a registration process, but anybody can listen, but there will have to be an approval process.
It decentralizes the process that Apple has held traditionally.
Yes, that's a great way to describe it. Yeah.
And so how does it work? Where, what are we pinging? Where does that server live? Who maintains that? Is that centralized? What's the deal?
Well, it will be a group of servers is the idea. Oh. So you have,
sexy.
Yeah. So we would run one, and maybe a hosting company could run one, you know, somebody, Buzzsprout, somebody could run one if they wanted to.
A node. Yeah.
A node. And so here's the critical piece is you have a DNS entry. You have an A record for podping.cloud, and that A record is a can list multiple hosts. So
it's around robin.
Round robin. And so if there, let's just say there's six Podping servers in the world, then
you just get one of them.
You get one of them, a random one each time, and each one of the Podping servers needs to be able to fully service a request from start to finish all the way through. And that way there's no dependence on one single point of failure. And if there's, let's just say 6, 7, 10 of these things, they can all efficiently run the entire thing on their own if need be. And that way you only have one DNS. And so all the publishers know that all they have to do is send an update to podping.cloud/.
All right. I'm going to take you up the stack. One more step. Podping.cloud. Who has that?
Me.
Okay. That's all I needed to hear.
No, you think I was born yesterday? I learned from you.
I learned it by watching you. Okay.
Yeah. If you have an idea and need a DNS, that's the first thing you do.
Right. Yeah. I have 2000.
Good God.
Yeah. Well, now I'm starting to, when I get the it's time for renewal, I'm starting to go in and get rid of some.
Yeah, that's a big bill.
You have to.
But if you've got an idea, I've got a domain name for it.
I bet you do. Let's make a deal, baby.
Yeah, shall I read you some of my domain names?
Yes, please.
Okay. 247gaga.com. 99fists.com.
Whoa, what is that? That sounds like a kung fu movie.
That's not where I was going to go, but okay.
I know you weren't.
These don't resolve anywhere, as far as I know. Or not all of them. Let me see. What else do I have? Astrologytherapist.com. BarryandJoe.com. You can know where that comes from. Biasbin.com. Come on. Come on,
ooh,
baby.
I like
come
that.
On. Big Book Show, which was actually something real.
Yeah, I remember that. We had a free controller set up for that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. What else do I have? Oh, my gosh. ChromePuff.com. No idea.
What is that?
I have no idea. Clinton990.org.
Clinton Foundation.
Yeah, that's right. That's exactly right. New Woke Order.com. I think that's not too bad. NoAgendaHams.com. That's real. I'm just skipping around here. I'll just do one more page. Holy crap, I got a lot. RomComcast.com. Pretty. RonaRadio.com. That's one of my favorites. That one's working.
That's a good one. Yeah. Is that redirect somewhere? Is that NoAgenda?
Probably. Let me see. Okay. It goes to, oh no. Oh,
it's
wait.
Dead.
No. Well, hold on a second. No, it's not dead. Rona Radio. I think it was going to something else before, but I changed it. What does it go to now? No Agenda Show. Yeah.
Okay. By the way, sound bites. To Sam Sethi, to answer your question, sound bites have no limit. They can be as long as you want them to be. The recommendation in the spec is 15 to 120 seconds. So between 15 seconds and 2 minutes, but that's just a recommendation. There's nothing in the spec that arbitrarily limits it to. I mean, you could have a 1 hour soundbite if you wanted to. So anyway, FYI.
And then I wanted to ask you, Dave.
Yes.
Your thoughts on what tomorrow will undoubtedly be a continuation of the previous Saturday's conversation about comments. And I mean, because now it's kind of comments, Activity Pub, and then all the things it can do. There's, you know, there's many different opinions that were voiced, and I love all the opinions. It feels like we're kind of stagnating because of just, you know, someone's got to do something or implement something. And I'm pretty sure what's going to happen is eventually Martin's just going to do something.
Yeah.
So I was just curious what your thoughts are.
You know,
no judgment. Honestly, no judgment.
Yeah, no, I'm just letting them have. I'm just letting them do that thing.
Well, that's the same because, that I'm like, you know, you guys figure it out, but it'd be great if we could do it.
Yeah, I just see us as sort of an ancillary. Like, we'll just jump on board with whatever they think is the right way to go.
Right.
Because I really don't have. I mean, to me, that's an app centric feature. I don't even think that.
Right, but the index is being discussed continuously as one of the solutions to create the base record or the base post, and you know, there's a lot of that talk going on.
Well, I would love to be able to show them on the index connected to each podcast page. That would be cool. Mm-hmm. Do you know about this, Eric? Do you know about the Activity Pub stuff?
No, I haven't. I mean, I haven't dug into it.
Do you know Activity Pub at all? Like how that works or the spec? Mm-mm. Okay,
nope.
Yeah, so basically they're trying to figure out how to have a distributed community, you know, like chat thing that's attached to a podcast. And so that, you know, like one, you could have somebody comment on a podcast or a chat in a on a podcast over here on Podfriend, and then it shows up in Podverse. Or, you know, that kind of thing. And that's all in basically federated, just like a Mastodon. And that's, I would love to be able to show that and like just sort of be a member of that thing and be a participant and federate. But to me, it all really originates in the app. So I would prefer that they, you know, sort of figure out what the best solution is. And then we just kind of participate where where it makes sense. Because I've got a backlog of stuff I need to research anyway. And it's just too much. I can't, you know, I can't stick Activity Pub in my brain right now. There's not enough room.
That's kind of where I'm at. Where, you know, I saw it kind of floating around. I don't have the bandwidth at the moment to focus on it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like my to-do research list is, you know, the web sub listing stuff from John Spurlock, the Activity Pub thing, Podping, there's trailers. It's chat channels. The channels in the namespace, and also there's like this premium subscription public private key thing that they're trying to talk about. It's just too much. So right. I'm just sort of like mentally just staying at a distance on the Activity Pub thing. But I hope they figure something out, because I mean I'd love to plug into it. Mm-hmm. I just feel like it needs to originate in the apps, though, because they're the ones where I don't want to put a thing on our website or on, you know, so I think they need to do that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'd be in the same. I mean, well, it's just at the moment they're going to have to run with it because we've got a few other things in the fire. So.
Mm-hmm. Well, phase three of the namespace will be a big push in May, because we really want it. I would really like to get trailers out the door, and what was the other one? There's trailers. Recommendations, I don't think, is going to make it out the door this time. It's just too big of a thing. We've got to talk about that more.
This definitely put it high on the next list because it's a great idea.
I think it is too. Yeah.
So what? Just, hold on. Yeah. Hey, what the hell? What the hell?
Oh yeah, yeah. Crank that shit up.
And now it's time for some hot namespace.
Crank talk. That shit up, he says.
let's see. What is? Where is the namespace?
Yeah. What are we doing? Where are we at? What's the? And I just want to thank Benjamin Bellamy, Monsieur Bellamy, Ma Bellamy, Mon Bellamy, I should say. I know you're thinking of me, man. I really can't wait to use Castapod so I can be implementing all of these great new features. I'm a content creator, not a fighter. I will make you so proud. I will author such beautiful content with your Castapod system.
You sound so French.
Thank you. I've been working on it. Well, you know, I have never, ever been able to, had the opportunity to work with anyone in France. There's just, it's like they have their own thing, and I've never encountered them in any kind of business. I've always wondered why, and I love working with them. Especially these guys. Is it Benjamin and is it
Yassine?
And who?
Yassine. That's the way I'm saying it. Y-A-S-S-I-N-E.
Yeah, I think that's it.
Okay. Yeah, I think it's Yassine.
You know, these are freedom fighters, man. Now, of course, they got money from the socialist French government, but that's great because they're bringing it right to us. I love that. They're bringing all their time and talent. No, but that, I mean, that is, it should almost be illegal for them to do that when you think about it. But you're helping these Americans.
That's a legitimate way to fight the system, though.
Yes, with the system. I love that. I mean, to me, that's like, the partisans, you know, they are the resistance.
But they are the French Ron Swanson, is what they are. They're libertarians who take a job in government just to subvert it from the inside.
No, but they didn't. They just took the money. They just wrote up and said, "Here, we need this for this money. It's very important." Boom.
Even easier.
I love that. I love that. Anyway, I know it's hard, and I know they're going to get something up and running for me, and I can't wait. That's all. I just need a weekly reminder.
Trailers and licenses. That's the two that we're
licenses and we should probably hear from Eric for another minute or two about the license thing. Personally, I'll give you my take first. I've always put all of my content under Creative Commons. I've fought it in court and won. Jurisprudence, I set jurisprudence for the Creative Commons system. You can look it up.
Were you the first case on it?
Yes, I was the first to take a case to court in Dutch court and to have it acknowledged.
Is there anything you can talk about? Can you tell that story?
Yeah, a magazine took pictures off of my website and put them on the cover of a gossip magazine.
Oh.
And I said, you can't do that. Well, it's my copyright. It says copyright right there. It says Creative Commons, non-commercial. And they said, but you shared it on your blog. I said, I don't give a fuck if I shared it on my blog. You can't just take that. Of course, didn't get a lot of money for it. But more importantly, if they ever did that again, then it's some crazy amount of, like, you know, 10,000 euros per copy per day. Like, I'd be a billionaire overnight or something. but that wasn't the point. The point was to prove that it was valid, that you can have your own copyright independent of copyright organizations. And that stood up. And I really like that. Now, it's technically not the same as a license. And I think that's where we get into the weeds, and I'd like to put parameters around this particular tag so we don't just have endless conversations about what works, what doesn't, what it is. Eric, we're going to be looking to you for some guidance on this, I think.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it kind of came up with certain apps that, you know, how do we... I guess what are the, you know, I want the license tag because it would be nice if the podcaster or the, you know, the producing the feed had some sort of, here's the terms I'm releasing this under. The same way you post it on your blog, it's the same thing with the RSS feed. And it would be nice if we had that in-house, you know, a record of that.
Right. Well, as long as we can get to the, what it is quickly or what needs to, what, because, you know, everyone has a different system, a different idea. I mean, that's what I'm worried about. It's like, oh, please.
They can put the tag in their feed. I mean, you can put it in there as the, you know, as part of the namespace tags of what the, you know, the Creative Commons, and you can put that in there, and that's all we need. And we can then parse it as part of the feed. And that's it. That's the simplest way to do it. And if you don't want to do it, then you don't do it.
Okay. And it doesn't matter what it is. You could say, I would just put my Creative Commons license in there.
Yeah. You're just saying, here's the license I'm doing this feed under.
Right.
So at least we know the ground rules, like what I'm allowed to do with the content that you're serving.
Okay. Good. Done. Next tag.
So what, but what does that mean though? I mean, like, what does it mean if I, okay, let's say that I'm listening to, the Scott Horton show, and he puts in a license in his feed that is, let's just say some Creative Commons for share. I don't know. I don't even know what they are. Share alike, mm-hmm. something.
Right.
What does that mean for the index? I mean, does that license apply to us at that point?
I don't see. Again, this gets into where we need to talk to the attorneys on copyright and all that, because it would be.
Attorneys, I don't like this. I don't like this.
Yeah, I don't like this direction of this conversation. This is a bad turn. Took a bad turn.
No, it's in a lot of ways, it's not for us. It's for the apps who are just, you know, who are serving this content. And
well, we're serving content. We're serving content on our homepage. We're serving content. There's no difference. There's no difference there.
What if we just display the license? If we detect a license, what if we just display it to the end user? Like, okay, here we found this license. Here's the license. Like a badge on the side. If we just pass it along.
I don't even know if it has to go that far. I just think it has to be available if we have it. If they've given it to us.
But who's driving this? Is this your tag, Eric? Is this all you? Or is this coming from somewhere else? Because I thought it came from somewhere else.
I'm not driving.
It came from somewhere else. I think it came from Benjamin Bellamy.
Oh, okay.
I just want to make sure we track it.
Yeah.
Here's an idea. We approve the tag, put it in phase 3, and then we ignore it and act like it doesn't exist.
Yeah, I like that.
Is that a valid strategy?
That's okay. Great strategy. What I would do is I would put the same thing I bake into my MP3 file. Let me see if I can actually bring it up here while it's running. Where is it here? No, I'm sorry.
You got a license in the ID3 tag?
Yeah, I bake it into the ID3 tag, and Creative Commons something. So basically it's Creative Commons, whatever the tag on it, that CC, and then there's a URL. So that's what it would be. And that would be your pair. It's this license, and here's the URL to it.
Right.
Okay.
And I would use that. I would put that in there. I mean, I don't know what good it does, but I could, if I wanted to, I guess here's how I might use it. Hey, I don't want to be on your crappy site that is offering me a homepage for my content. Take it off. And here's my license and I can change the license if I want to make you take it off, you know, or I don't want you to do it that way or what, you know, there's different levels of license you can put in there. I don't want an ad next to it. You know, like, no, it's like a non-commercial. So you can't do that. That's when it's handy. Just so you have a stick behind the door, I think.
Well, I think that's part of the idea of doing the admin so that if someone wants their feed removed from the index, they can just go in and, you know,
yes,
filter it.
But when you remove your feed from the index, your account disappears at the same time.
I don't like creating things that give people the power to tell me what to do. So I don't like
No, they am giving them a way to opt out if they want to opt out. I don't think anyone's going to do it.
Is that petty?
Wait a minute. Hold petty, on a second.
Giving people power and expecting them to be disciplined about it is completely insane.
There's a couple of ISOs here that I don't even know what they are anymore.
Okay, I'm going to go through them.
Sexual sorcery. What is that?
Okay, Dave, I don't know what podcast you're listening to, but...
That's Art Bell.
I've been an Art Bell kid
lately. I got the job.
Jeez.
It's aliens.
Hold on.
It's aliens.
That sounds pretty good.
I love my love sack.
Okay, that's the best one. That's the best one. I love my love sacks. What?
I love my love sacks.
Oh, brother. That's end of show right here.
I don't know where I got this from.
I don't want to know.
I do it so you don't have to.
99fists.com.
I still got to figure out what that idea was about.
Don't do it. Leave it alone. It's an old chapter of your life. You need to move on.
You were young and needed money.
My Amsterdam days are
needed money.
Hey, hey, the way this project's going, we might need that domain name. So, you know, don't mock it. Don't mock it. Eric.
I'm waiting on the porn guys to show up. I'm
Eric, like, that's yes, exactly. Money. Yeah. You know, when they do show up, you know, Satoshi's be flowing, baby. I'll tell you that. I'll tell you that. And think about how cool it could be. You can have your value block split for the actor, the actress, for the fluffer, for the stunt double.
No.
For the floor cleaner.
Because they'd only stream sats for 3 minutes.
I think technically, is it 1 minute 30 seconds?
Whatever, right?
All right. Just forget the per minute. And just put the boost button in there. And be done.
All right, I think we've had quite enough. I'm going to wrap up this board meeting. Let's leave on a high. Eric, thank you very much. It's good to hear your voice, and I'm sure we'll be hearing you on the podcast more in the future. And he is, of course, Eric at podcastindex.social. That was very funny. Dave, anything for you as we wrap this up for today?
I just need a Kleenex to wipe the tears off my face.
All right, everybody. Please remember, it is a value for value project. Go to podcastindex.org. Scroll down to the bottom. We have a big red donate button, and we should have a proper BTC QR code. All kinds of cool stuff coming. You are now listening to the only three people who are doing anything on this end of it. Everybody else, well, you're here in the boardroom, and we appreciate you for showing up. We'll do it again on Friday. Please join us then for Podcasting 2.0. Take care, everybody. Bye-bye.
You have been listening to Podcasting 2.0. Visit podcastindex.org for more information.
I love my love sack.
Go podcasting!